Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, academics working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, visual arts, comparative religion, civics, and government.
Imagine a sculpture welcomes visitors to the Albuquerque Sunport, a complex geometric kaleidoscope of shifting UNM Lobo images and videos. Imagine designers, student architects, community leaders, and stakeholders collaborate to revitalize a rural New Mexico downtown. Imagine an expansive virtual representation of historic San Antonio del Embudo, which draws from scientific datasets to describe the valley's rich culture. The common factor in these disparate projects is Dr. Tim Castillo, who, with his many collaborators, skillfully incorporates technology in shaping the future for New Mexican communities.
I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
And we are joined today by Dr. Tim Castillo, Associate Dean of Student Engagement and Academic Innovation at the University of New Mexico. Dr. Castillo is also an associate professor at UNM's School of Architecture and Planning. In early 2019, he was named UNM's special advisor to the provost for Santa Fe initiatives. Previously, he was a member of the interdisciplinary film and digital media faculty, and before that, he was the director of the Art, Research, Technology, and Science Laboratory.
As your many titles and positions indicate, you are working at the intersection of a lot of different fields. With all of these projects that you do, you're using cutting-edge technology. Can you talk a little bit about how you see the technology playing into our built spaces or to our sense of community?
Well, thank you for having me today. I think one of the things that's really interesting about technology is it's, you know, omnipresent, and it's just moving at an exponential rate. And one of the things that's really interesting to me is really what that means to communities, in particular communities within the state of New Mexico. I've always been interested in, you know, what technology can bring and, you know, what accessibilities can come from, you know, emergent tech.
Can you talk a little bit about the Finding Rural project and how you all worked with communities in southern New Mexico?
Sure. You know, what was interesting about the Finding Rural project is I grew up in Silver City, and I always wanted to give back to that community that I grew up in. And Silver City has its challenges. It's a community that is really dependent on mining, and it's very cyclical in the way that economy sort of evolves. And so I really wanted to take a look at, you know, how does that community start to sustain itself, and how can myself as an architectural designer and faculty really play a role in maybe rethinking where they're headed, and what kind of opportunities could my students and my colleagues come up with in terms of bettering that community and thinking about, you know, new forms of economy through design.
So what does that actually look like? So if you say sustainability through design, can you give us a concrete example?
Sure.
Paint a picture.
You know? Sure. It was a 3-year commitment that we set up with Western New Mexico University. And it was really kind of, an ongoing process, because we weren't really sure. We had some questions about what can happen, but we were really looking for the input from the community. And so we went down and we started off with kind of surveying, well, what are the interests and what are the things that this community is really seeing itself in terms of the future. And one of the things that emerged was, there's a lot of people that have sort of migrated to Silver City that are artists and creative people. And so there's a lot of things like the Clay Festival, the Blues Festival, that really have become iconic in Silver City. So we were interested in that kind of creative commerce. And so what we did is really start to build a program around creative commerce. So we came up with things like a culinary institute. We started to look at like maybe a mining museum, things that could be cornerstones for new economy. But really what came out was the notion of making, and really looking at emergent technologies for making. So the idea of creating a makers lab in Silver City was really the thing that really kind of gravitated to many of the community members there. And so over the next 2 years after that first engagement was really coming up with the notion of how to make a makers lab. And so we started planting seeds about this idea, and community members got behind it. And, you know, we ended up creating a mobile makers lab for Silver Silver City that was funded through the city. And it was really bringing emergent tools like laser cutters and 3D printers and CNC routers and really exposing it to the youth of that community to generate, you know, hopefully new ideas and new opportunities.
So when you say design, I mean, I'm almost hearing like almost a kind of community planning. I mean, not in the strict sense of organizing streets and buildings, but you're trying to design a lifestyle or?
I think it's more like an ecosystem.
An ecosystem.
Right. Yeah. You know, in planting the seed in the youth and having them really drive the future. One of the things that we see is that with technology and the internet, you know, there's a greater accessibility. That community, you know, is really looking for new opportunities. And so one of the things that was really great is that we received a grant from the power company, PNM, to bring people from all over the region that had expertise in creative commerce, people that were, we had a great individual from Santa Fe that runs the Maker Lab up there, talk about how to start creating an economy from making.
This has been deployed already.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like? I come from the maker community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm active in both the big maker spaces in Albuquerque. I mean, is it an RV? Is it a tractor?
It's a little tiny trailer.
Okay.
And we developed a series of kiosks. You know, one is really kind of dedicated to digital making. Another one is much more of a hands-on making. So like our origami was one that we started to create. So really kind of blending both, you know, traditional handmaking, but also digital handmaking. And really one of the things that sort of evolved after that is that we gave this presentation about, you know, the power of building in communities. And I was down in Silver City giving a presentation, and the vice president from New Mexico Tech from the research end saw this presentation and said, hey, I love what you guys are doing. Could we do something like that in maybe Socorro? And so this last year, we've been working with New Mexico Tech and the Air Force Research Lab to develop a 30-foot makers lab. And so the intention is to go out to rural communities around the state and, you know, really kind of think about impacting a larger kind of sector within the state.
Well, and I think it also speaks to the democratization of production and fabrication, just like we saw the democratization of print and design 25 years ago.
I've had my own forays into encouraging kids in makerly ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some learning curve with figuring out, say, how to design an object for 3D printing or
right.
how to set up a good file for your laser cut. Is UNM supporting that, or is that also coming out of the community? So, say, the teachers and the classrooms who are asking you to visit.
Right. I think, you know, that's one of the great things about the internet, that there's just, you know, we're not the first mobile maker lab in the country, and there's a great open source resource, you know.
It's the maker ethos,
yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
You know, yeah,
and
self-replicate
so,
the maker
exactly.
movement.
So I think we're really, you know, dependent on those people that have set up the platforms and really piggybacking off that open source kind of platform to help us in terms of educating. And so, I mean, the infrastructure is big, you know, being able to develop that ecosystem. Fortunately, we're a little bit behind the curve, and so we're actually benefiting from being behind the curve.
Because other people have tried this stuff out, and you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly.
So what else comes into play if you're trying to develop this sort of ecosystem in a rural community like Silver City, or maybe going forward Socorro, which is rural in a sense? I mean, it's a small town.
One of the things that we found, you know, working in Silver City is that the youth can't see themselves unless they can, you know, see somebody that's already doing it. And so really working with the Air Force Research Lab, who have engineers or architects, and being able to plant that seed and, you know, hopefully inspiring kids to attain that goal.
I also think it's interesting that you brought up AFRL, because they have certainly, seems like they've really been getting their hands into a lot of this outreach and building these sorts of resources out into the community.
One of the things that I think that is inspiring is just really reaching out to the rural communities. I think, you know, they've been primarily metropolitan based in both Albuquerque and Santa Fe, but, you know, I think they've realized that they have to reach out further, and it's great.
That's like sort of your main focus right now, or?
Well, I've got multiple oars in the fire.
So what else?
I teach a class in emergent technology in the architecture department, and it's really a cross-disciplinary class. So I've gotten people from museum studies and, you know, the film and digital media department, and it's a really great forum for investigating and looking at new tools. And so, you know, recently I've been looking at augmented reality and virtual reality in my work, and really it kind of stems from some early research that developing an archive for Northern New Mexico. It's a project called the Virtual New Mexico Project. I think that the power of virtual reality and augmented reality are, you know, it's really the future of where we're headed with these technologies. technologies.
The classes that you're teaching, that's at the undergraduate level?
It's cross-listed. So it's both undergrad and graduate.
In which program?
In architecture. It's taught out of the architecture department, but it's cross-listed with other departments.
I mean, this is where I think everything's going. I think all these things are of a piece. I mean, to me anyway.
I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, the silo of education is really something that I think that the youth aren't interested in as much anymore. I think they're interested in multiple things. So being able to, have multiple voices from other disciplines is really important.
Well, and I think for all these things, the aesthetics of something affects the way that we move in the world, the way it actually affects the quality of the work we do, whether it's work for our own pleasure or professionally.
There's an acumen of design that we come from. I'm a very interdisciplinary designer. And so, there's some common ground in all the work that I do. And so, order and aesthetics are really, really important. So whether I'm teaching film or teaching digital modeling or even looking at, the built environment, it all has a sort of common ground. And so I think it's really the baseline of where I come from.
I would argue even the collaborative activities are a whole other discipline that you're bringing in here. You mentioned the Virtual New Mexico Project, and your response to community needs with that is very different than the response to community needs in, say, Silver City or Deming or whatever. And so that takes a lot of work, getting all those stakeholders together and really hearing their voices and really thinking through the options. I looked at the Instagram for the Finding Rural Project, and I was really impressed by the brainstorming pictures of how deep everybody was diving into these ideas together.
Yeah, it was a really fun project. We were thinking that we really need to look at a different model. And so really one of the primary roles that we're thinking about is let's use film and social media as a primary aspect in terms of our engagement. So being able to be on a platform that the community could see really helped us. One of the great things in the Finding Rural program is we sat down with so many community members, everything from, the government leadership to people that were running different organizations to just people that were living there. And we put this together and we told a story. And I think that putting it out there on the web actually allowed us to get into doors because people understood that we weren't there to tell them what to do, but really there to listen. And it's been really fruitful.
You also do immersives and installations. And I know those are more artistic.
Sure.
Can you just describe those a little bit?
Yeah. Okay? So when I was running the arts lab, the digital media lab on campus, I really got inspired by immersive technology. And so we have one of the few domes in the region. And so
A dome.
So it's a 6-projector planetarium dome, but it's at a smaller scale. And so it really requires you to tile images from projected content and stitch it together to create this sort of immersive, feel. My colleague, David Bynum at the Arts Lab, was really a primary sort of author of a lot of this content. So working in that space, I really started to think about what the opportunities were. And so we were able to collaborate on the Loboscape, which was at the airport for about 3 years. And it was really working with the communication and marketing people here at UNM to promote a new idea of what can happen in terms of marketing space.
That was the complex polyhedral that would project images on the
It was images
facets.
Pulled from social media, right?
Yeah, there was social media. And then, it was really intended to kind of look at the scope of the university, everything from student life to athletics to a complex set of ideas.
It's what you could look at when you were waiting for someone to come at us.
Exactly.
When you're picked, which I thought was a perfect placement for it, because there's nothing else to do but look around at everybody else waiting for somebody to come off the airplane.
How do you hone in on what the most appropriate technology is? So, for instance, with Finding Rural, you said use of social media and use of film really helped the participants get a grasp on it. You've mentioned that AR and VR have become really powerful tools for you. Social media informed the Loboscape installation as well as these emerging immersive technologies. So how do you know what's going to fit?
I think it's really trial and error. The ideation that we were talking about earlier is that really, you know, you test things and you see how they're how they resonate with the community. One of the challenges, like with virtual reality, is that it requires some really sophisticated technology to be able to execute that. And so that's a technology I think that has its own merit, but it's a limited kind of scope. Whereas augmented reality is something that is a little bit more accessible. So everybody has a phone these days, and being able to think about what can be augmented is really an interesting opportunity. You have to test and feel. And so when I come into a space, I'm thinking about, well, this might work and that might work, and then really testing it out.
This has just been fantastic. The breadth of your work is kind of a little mind-boggling.
Thank you.
If you want to learn more about Dr. Castillo, his work, and his projects, you can visit his website, timcastillo.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, string bassist and loopmeister extraordinaire. We've had engineering and production assistance from Tristan Klum.